Welcome to Classroom 1. I am Pastor Kirk.
And I am theologian and layman Phil Fredericks.
And we will be your regular hosts on Classroom 1 each week, right here on the Voice of Confessional Lutheranism, KNNALP, FM 95.7, Lincoln, Nebraska.
What is Classroom 1? Classroom 1 is a study of Scripture, a study of the six chief parts of Christian doctrine and the Lutheran liturgy and the Lutheran confessions, which themselves are a right and reliable exposition of Scripture.
How will we do this? Well, the format is like an information class for adults or children: lecture, comment, question and answer. Classroom 1 doesn't take the place of classes at your church, but it will serve to enhance and reinforce classes taught by your pastor.
What will you need to follow along? You might want your Bible, and it will be helpful to have a copy of the Lutheran service book for liturgical references and, of course, paper and pencil to jot down notes. If you need or would like a Bible or a Lutheran service book hymnal or a copy of the Lutheran Confessions or Luther's Small Catechism, they can all be quickly obtained from Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040.
If you have specific comment or questions regarding the material we are covering on Classroom 1, contact us please at Classroom 1, KNNALP, FM 95.7, at address 3825 Wildbriar Lane, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68516, and we'll get an answer out to you ASAP. I'll repeat this again before we sign off. Okay then, I think that's all the particulars, so let's get started for this day's edition of Classroom 1. Well, on this edition of Classroom 1, we'll be continuing our look at confession and absolution. And one of the elements of confession and absolution that is somewhat difficult, and I think we addressed it in a previous Classroom 1 program, was when Jesus spoke to the woman taken in adultery, and he told that woman, "Go and sin no more." And what did Jesus mean by "go and sin no more"? Well, in the Greek, which is what the Holy Spirit inspired the Scriptures to be recorded in, "sin no more" is translated, "do not continue in sin." So then the question becomes, well, what does it mean not to continue in sin when I know that I am a sinner and I am an expert at sinning and that's what I'm going to do? So, well, to live in not continuing in sin is to live instead by faith and trust in Christ. And it is to believe that Jesus does not condemn us, but forgives us. And he gives us his Spirit, by whom faith and life are given to us, because they don't come from within, they come from Christ and are delivered to us by word and sacrament, by the Spirit. And by that Spirit, God rebirths us in baptism, water and the word, and that by that Spirit we are baptized into a life of repentance, a life of contrition and faith. In the Spirit, we live by the Spirit of God. We live by his Spirit, Christ's Spirit, who lives within us. And the life we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God. And that is the life of repentance. And this faith of ours is received by Christ's gift in word and sacrament and absolution. And yes, sin still clings to us, and the devil and our conscience still accuses us with the terrors of death. But Christ is greater than our sin. Christ is greater than the accusation of our conscience. Christ is greater than the devil. Christ has defeated sin and death and the devil in us. His word assures us. We have the promise of Christ's word. And when he declares us by his word righteous, that is, forgiven of all our sins, it is in his word, by the Holy Spirit's power, that we believe and live and move and have our being. And we do not continue in sin. By the power of the Holy Spirit within us, we continue in faith, in the forgiveness of our sins, and trust in Christ's word that we are indeed forgiven.
One of the things I think we have to understand and deal with anymore is there is not much distinction between law and gospel when you look at what other churches tell people. And I'm only thinking about that because my wife gave me a book and has essays on proper distinction of law and gospel and what happens if you don't. And looking at this, you say you go to get forgiven and
yes.
it's feeling.
Yeah.
So if there's no distinction, first of all, they will say, well, you know, you're forgiven. And so then they'll run right to the law. And the assumption is, since God says do this, you can.
Yeah.
And
yes.
that's improper. We cannot do it.
Because I can't. Yes.
And unless you understand that, you're going to fall prey to all the things they tell you, which is if you strive hard enough, you will sin less and less and do more and more. And I think that ties very well into this. You know, there's always that tension. The Lutheran Church is very good about. There's that tension you live in, which is, you know, living a life of repentance, but you know that you're going to sin continually. So here you have it. You know, I'm still a sinner. I've been baptized. Christ did all this stuff for me, and I still lived a sinful life. And instead of throwing your hands up and go, well, really, those things aren't really sins. They're just kind of mars on what I'm doing. And I think that's why this whole idea of absolution and confession is so important, and it ties so directly with the proper distinction of law and gospel.
If we don't keep those straight, we'll turn our confession into the law, something we do.
For yes.
The law of God is what requires us, but it doesn't give us any power to do anything.
No.
It just demands.
In fact, it kills you. That's
yes,
what it does.
It will eventually kill you because you cannot. You cannot complete the law. You cannot approach completion of that law. So how do I avoid sin? Well, I cannot. How do I keep the commands and word of God in that respect? I can't. And it is of human nature that an individual will flee to that law in order to justify himself. And then it becomes necessary if I don't feel that I'm really, and it's important to understand, I don't feel as if I have, you know, kept the law good enough. If I don't feel that I've approached that, then I know of necessity, then I need to go and get forgiven again on Sunday morning. And I need to go and get this forgiveness to complete what I couldn't quite complete myself. So it becomes, is the word synergistic thing, where we kind of work together?
Yes.
You know, so I'm doing my thing in trying to keep the commandments, and God's doing his thing by giving me the forgiveness for that part of it which I failed to, and then everything is good. Everything is okay. And now I can move back into my life, and I can give it another shot and see if I can't get that done. So that's to confuse the law with the gospel. For the gospel has nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do with me or what I can do. I know by the law of God what I can do, and what I can do is not keep the law of God. I will sin, and my conscience will ever accuse me of that, and the devil is always there with me as well. But if I'm fleeing to the law like that and trying to cover myself, I will fail. The gospel has nothing to do with that. The gospel is entirely the free gift of Christ to us through his shed blood, his death on the cross, his resurrection for us that lifts us out of the muck and the mire of sin from which we can't free ourselves into the kingdom of God. And how is that done? It is done through the Spirit of God who delivers to us all of the gifts of Christ by his word. By that word of absolution to you and to me and to the world, your sins are forgiven. It is as if Christ were saying to us, I am the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As a matter of fact, that is what St. John the Baptist said of Jesus.
Behold the Lamb.
Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So you can't miss it. The forgiveness of sins is a gift to us in Christ Jesus. Even as even as our confession and absolution arises from us, from the Holy Spirit's work in the law to convict us of our sin and our desperate need for Jesus, our Savior.
We spend a lot of time, a lot of churches spend a lot of time ignoring the law because we don't need the law anymore. But as soon as you throw the law completely and say, well, it's about the gospel turns into a law. Have you noticed that?
To turn the gospel itself into a law? Yes. Yes.
You know, if I'm a Christian, I can prove it by these things, and I will do these things.
Yeah.
I will love my neighbor as myself,
right.
As a good Christian, yes. That I am.
Yeah.
And
we flee right to the law to justify
we
ourselves.
We always do that.
Yeah.
What was Pastor Coleman said? I also loved it when he said, we live our lives forensically. I also love that term. And that's just a life of self-justification. And
yeah, but it's forensically because we are always under the eyes
yes,
of
that's
the
right.
righteous judge himself, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And I had never thought about that, but that is the way we live our public life, too. I was working for Ag Statistics at that time, and there were very real benchmarks. You could say, if I do this, this, and this, that's how I know I'm doing a good job.
Yeah, and you're successful.
And you're successful.
Yep, you're good.
And we turn and apply those same things to this, to our Christian life, and say, well, if I give so much money to the poor, you know, if I attend church often enough, if I send money off to this, if I pick up bottles on the side of the road, I mean, there are things that you could point to and say, there, I'm really a good person because I can prove it. And we feel good about ourselves, too. And
sure.
That's very seductive.
Sure.
That's extremely seductive. That's one thing I always said about working for Ag Statistics. It taught me more about church growth and movement than I ever, ever dreamed of because it was based on benchmarks and feelings. That's what it was based on.
Yes. And that is nothing other than turning the gospel then into a law.
Well, and I still think we want that feeling too when we want to feel completely sorry. We want to feel the relief. We want to feel some feeling, and that doesn't always happen. Sometimes it does.
Sometimes it does.
Sometimes it doesn't.
But maybe most of the time it doesn't.
Because you don't feel, do I feel horribly contrite about the things that I have done? Only if I got caught. You know,
yeah, probably so.
That's kind of the main thing. But there are things you go, man, I shouldn't have done that. But there are also things. You know, road rage is my favorite because I used to drive a lot. And
don't we all?
And you would go, you know, you would think really un-Christian thoughts. And if you would have asked me about them 3 minutes later, you'd have gone, what? I don't recall that. And so I didn't feel sorry for that. And you go, well, okay.
Yeah, I didn't even remember that.
No, didn't even remember it. And so what other things in your life would you do, you know?
And even if you did remember it, you would have been justified
sure,
for
because it was,
whatever went on.
That's right.
There.
That guy was a jerk. He deserved it.
And so feeling bad is not a good trustworthy.
No.
That will take you always back to hiding yourself in the law of God, and those are things that you think you can see.
That doesn't prove contrition and repentance on
no,
your
it doesn't
part
prove
at all.
Any of that, because it has nothing to do with that gift of the Spirit to us. And without the Spirit of God working through that law of God to convict us of our sin, we would never come to that conviction. We would always run and flee to the law. Of course, I love my neighbor as myself. And, you know, hide in all of, in every, in any and all of the commandments to achieve that.
Well, Jesus had to up the ante anyway. He had to say, if you think it, it's the same as doing it. And you're going, oh, come
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
I hadn't killed anybody.
You can't
I've not killed anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here we are. But feeling bad about not keeping the commandments is part of understanding that you've sinned and you are under the wrath of God and you'll be lost forever unless delivered by our Lord Jesus Christ. The difference between there. The law and the gospel and keeping them straight. What Christ gives to us in his absolution to us through the mouth of our pastor, what he places into our mouth in the Holy Supper so that we are strengthened in our faith toward our God and in fervent love toward others. Not because we have done that or not because that we feel good about ourselves for what we've done and now as a reward we receive the body and blood of Christ or his absolution, but because it is Christ for us who who has done these things for us and counts his work for us as righteousness. And thanks be to God, we are relieved from the curse of the law, from always trying to justify ourselves to God before that law. We are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so going to church to get forgiven, or to for us to, you know, it's another work that we do along with God. God does his part, and then we're now doing our part, is not it. We're not going out there giving it another try or turning the gospel into some kind of a this is our part of what Christ has done for us. You know, he did the dying, and now we got to do the living. No, 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 no. That's to turn the gospel into a law itself. Do not continue to sin. Live by faith now in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. That can only be apprehended by the penitent through believing the words of Christ and what they truly mean and what they are truly intended to do. Not to turn it into our work. It is Christ's work for us. Jesus said it in Matthew 12. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. When the Holy Spirit delivers Christ to us and his forgiveness, Christ's reconciliation for us with God, when he delivers that and that is spoken against, we stand on extremely dangerous ground. You're listening to Classroom One.
KNNA FM 95.7 is radio. Radio is a communication medium, nothing more. KNNA is designed to be confessional Lutheran, Lutheran community informative, and family and entertainment. Our broadcasting can assist the shut-in who can't come to church on Sunday. It can help the hospitalized for the same reason. It can help the person whose work schedule is unfriendly to Sunday morning worship. All so that the Word of God might be heard. Yes, there is a level of outreach connected to FM 95.7. But FM 95.7 is not the church. It is not intended to take the place of the congregation or its pastors or their work. It is FM radio, a communication medium. We are all volunteer. Most of our programming is automated. There is no office or staff or phone watch. If there are pastoral concerns that you would like assistance with, or you would like to speak with our pastors, please contact Good Shepherd Lutheran Church at 402-423-7639 during normal business hours, or come by the church at 3825 Wildbriar Lane. We'll be happy to assist you.
Okay, we're back after the break, and I had just quoted here the text in Matthew 12, where Jesus says, do not speak a word against the Holy Spirit. And why is that specific to what we're talking about? Well, in our conversation, we're talking about going to church to get forgiven. And in repentance, one ought never believe that the absolution heard means that now all the former has been forgiven, and now one may resume their daily business as usual until the next time there comes a need or opportunity to stay current again in our life of repentance, of not continuing in sin, but rather continuing in faith in the Son of God. We don't go to church to get forgiven and kind of use a cost-benefit analysis here, and I take refuge in the law of God, and I'm doing my part according to the commandments of God, just like Jesus did his part by dying on the cross for, that was his part of this whole thing. And now, in my life, I can kind of maintain a zero balance. And when I can't balance it out because I cannot keep the law of God, well, then I go to church and I get some forgiveness and I get back up there with a zero balance with God. And now everything is good and rosy. And then I can go ahead with my life and live it as I see it. And that is one dangerous form of works righteousness and blasphemy. And it is essentially telling the Holy Spirit, all of this gift of confession and absolution and the forgiveness of my sins and the reconciliation with God and the promise of Christian life now and forever, looking forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come, all of that stuff. Well, I got to do my part for that. Yeah, Jesus, in spirit, I appreciate that, but I got to get my part of that done too. And here's how we do it. And I go and get forgiven, and I go and keep this zero balance, and everything is good. That is to tell the Holy Spirit that you
don't really need him.
Yeah, I don't need you. I can get this part myself. I got it. Don't worry about me. I'm forgiven, right, Spirit, and. Very, very dangerous because it slips you back into that confusion of law and gospel, thinking that there must be something that I can do. And here's what we're going to do. No, it is Christ for us. It is what he has done for us. It is what he has gifted for us. And without it, I am lost.
Well, our lives prove how blind and stupid we are about those things, because deep down we all want a sign from God. And that's very easy, So if I've repented and I've done well, God is pleased with me. So I can look around and I can find something that God has done pleasantly, that proves he is pleased with me. Meanwhile, ignoring everything that's going on. Let's see, wars, rumors of wars, storms. So is life perfect for you? No, it's not. There's stuff that goes on all the time. And if you want to stay on one hand, well, I can prove God. Well, then you better look at all the other things. And the chief one is, the one that people don't think about at all, is they look at their lives and go, I've done well. Really? So you're not going to die? Nobody argues that they're going to live forever. And they will point to their works righteousness and you go, well, if you did such a good job, you are not going to die, correct? Well, everybody dies. Why? Not you, not me. We're perfect. I think that's kind of, we have a lot of standards.
Yeah, we
and
do.
And they shift.
We do. Pastor Mirandi made a great point of this in a recent message in Divine Service on a Sunday, where he spoke about how all of these things that we can look at and point to that assure us that we are doing okay and everything is just going well. And, we're no better or no worse than anybody else, but we think we're doing pretty good as far as everybody is concerned. But you can't get away from sin.
Nope.
Even though you might want to, even though you can cover it up, even though you can explain it away, but you can't get away from it. And you can't get away from it in this respect, that you will die.
Yep.
And that is the consequence. That is the assurance that you have sin, and there is nothing you can do about it. And there is nothing you can do about dying. We will die. And that's tough. And to speak against the Spirit of God, to say, I got it, don't worry about me, I'm doing good, and I can find all of these proofs out there, I cannot avoid the one big proof, the one big truth that says, no, you're not. Only one can redeem you from death, and that is he who overcame death for us by dying for us on that cross and rising for us, as he said on the third day. He did it for us, not so that we could do our part and then we could rise too. No, we don't rise on our own. Christ, the first fruits, and we who trust in him, who have that repentant faith, he will raise up at the last day. And that brings us the repentant joy that we have now. That when I know that when I lay my sins before Jesus because his law has convicted me, I also hear immediately, Fear not. God has put away your sin. He has sent his son Jesus into the flesh to bleed and die, to wash our sins away. And his blood is the only cleanser strong enough to wash away all of our sins. So when we hear that in the absolution, I like Pastor Mirandi, when he brings that absolution to the ears of the people, he slows it down right yes. there on purpose and lets those words be heard and sink
because
in.
Because it is pretty significant.
Yes, I forgive you all your sins. What beautiful words to one whose conscience is seared by the thing that cannot be avoided, death itself. And what a terrifying, frightening thing that is. To know that my Jesus has saved me from all of that and has even promised me the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting because what he has done for me. When I hear those words, you are forgiven of all your sins. Thanks be to God, there is repentant joy at that point in time. That my repentance isn't just, I'm sorry for my sins, now what can I do about it? But I am sorry that I have sinned against my God, and my God has done something about it for me.
Even though I continue to sin.
Sin.
I think it's kind of an appropriate time to be talking about this, because we just celebrated Pentecost. And one of the things the Lutheran Church has been accused of is we don't talk about the Spirit very, very much. And that'd be the Pentecostals who say, well, you know, the Spirit moves us to do this and moves us to that. But that's really not true. We don't say it the same way we do. We say the Spirit is the one who brings all this stuff to us. He's the one who drags us to the Father. They would argue that, I don't know what they argue, he's going to put words in your mouth that nobody can understand or something like that. But he's a very important part of our church. Without him, we would say Christ's things would never have been delivered to us. Now they're delivered to us through the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's his work. Christ's most specific work was to bleed and die to wash away our sins. Well, he did that on the cross for us and by his resurrection. But how would we ever find out about it if the Spirit had not caused the Word of God of these things to go forth? So every time we're in divine service, we're speaking about the Holy Spirit. When the Word of God is read, we're speaking about the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit speaking to us. When the absolution is given, it is the Spirit's work to deliver that Word. When faith is worked in a person's heart by hearing the Word of God, that's the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures themselves is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. He is the very Spirit of Christ. He goes forth and by the Word of God, by his sacraments, he creates and sustains our faith. It is all the Holy Spirit.
And that's the important part. And I think that's a difference between what we teach as Lutherans and what other churches teach, is that we do not on our own, and we cannot in any way, shape, on our own, comprehend what has been done for us. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you reject the power of the Holy Spirit, you reject his ability to... I mean, if you cut him off, you know, refuse to accept him, you know, that almost sounds like you can do something, but you can't. But that's the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit,
yes.
where he drags you over there and you go, nope, I still refuse no matter what. I want to refuse.
I got this. I got it. I can do it myself. And it works. And that's, you know, that's why this text about you can speak against the Son of God. But that sin can be forgiven. But if you speak against the Holy Spirit, you cut off the very thing that the Spirit uses to bring you to faith. I don't need Christ. I've got this. I can get forgiveness. That's my part. I can do this on my own. Well, Lutherans didn't invent this. Lutherans didn't sit down one day and say, gee, how can we be different from all the other churches? The Spirit himself speaks these things by the Word of God. How does faith come to us? Is it not the gift of the Spirit? As St. Paul writes, faith comes to us by hearing the Word of God, the work of the Spirit at bringing us to faith and keeping us in faith by that same Word and by the visible Word, you know, in the sacraments.
And I think we could have a discussion with churches and agree with the atoning sacrifice of Christ, but disagree about how we take hold of that.
How we take hold of that and how that
there
comes
is some
to us.
Something in us, and we say, no, there is nothing in us. And I think that's pretty huge. That's a huge, huge, huge difference. Because then, you know, there's what we call it syncretism. Now, all of a sudden, we have the syncretism issue raises its ugly head. So
it is a big difference.
Yes.
The difference between I go out and I must do this, I must do the work, I must decide, I must make the decision and accept, as opposed to the Spirit igniting that faith within me. Now, God doesn't necessarily give me in His Word, other than He says faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And what are all the particulars and how does that work and how does all of that happen? God gives us true truth in His Scripture, not exhaustive truth. It is to us to believe His Word. And that's the fundamental point that we were making, Phil, in this particular segment, that repentance, confession and absolution, the repentance is of contrition and faith, that I recognize my sin against God and the terror that it leaves me in with facing my own death, facing God, and what Christ has done for me, that I can lay my trust in Him. And how do I do that? That is the Spirit's work in me by the Word of our God. You're listening to Classroom 1.
We live in a sin-filled world, and the darkness of that sin sometimes causes us to be down, down and out, down and depressed. But take heart. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. This is Pastor Clint Poppe, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We would like to invite you to join us for worship and hear the life-giving, life-changing message of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you and for the light of the world. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school and Bible study in between, and every Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Please join us, won't you? We're located just north of 40th and Old Cheney. And remember, Jesus says, I am the light of the world.
Well, we're back after the break at the bottom of the hour, and I wonder if I might pause a moment to offer just a practical note here on that idea of blasphemy from the Matthew 12 text. Speech, thought, writing, or action manifesting irreverence toward God or anything sacred is noted as blasphemy. And the danger is clear in blasphemy because it is directed against the Holy Spirit and includes the means of grace that God has given to deliver redemption in the forgiveness of sins and faith to sinners. And there are two means of grace defined this way, that they are the gospel and the sacraments, because these are the means by which God works faith in us and delivers to us the forgiveness of our sins. These are the divinely instituted means by which God offers, bestows, and seals to people the forgiveness of sins and eternal life and salvation. Now, since Jesus spoke, and He recorded it in Matthew 15, His words, that all sin originates in a sin-corrupted heart, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit betrays a stubbornly sin-obstinate heart against these very means by which the Holy Spirit would forgive sins and create in us the righteousness of faith. Psalm 51, for example, where the psalmist writes, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me," is thus critical in the Spirit's work in bringing us to faith and keeping us in faith. The psalmist is telling us this is the work of God. This is the work of God's Holy Spirit to create in us an entirely new spirit by his word. Not the old spirit of sinfulness and I'm going to do it myself and I got this and Jesus did his part, now I'm engaged in doing mine. Not the old heart that fills with the corruption of sin, like you were mentioning, Phil, earlier about the road rage thing, which is a great example of the sinfulness that just pours out of our hearts against our neighbor. And God gives us a new heart, as the prophet Isaiah would write. He would take from us the heart of stone and give us the heart of flesh. The heart that is softened by the word of God. The heart that fills and delights with the reconciliation that we have in the forgiveness of sins with our God. Now, when that is all stubbornly and obstinately, knowingly refused, there is grave danger. It is why Jesus said in Matthew 12 that sin cannot be forgiven. Because you've told the Holy Spirit, essentially, be quiet. I don't need you, I can do it myself. And that's the mortal sin. For we cannot, as we have confessed for centuries, 2,000 of them in fact, we cannot by our own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to him. The Holy Spirit must call us by the gospel. He must do it. He must enlighten us with his gifts. And if we say no to the Holy Spirit, to the Word of God, to his sacraments, and we say yes to ourselves and what we can do, we will fall into mortal sin. And that is sin that will damn. And it will damn just as surely, Phil, as you and I are sitting here.
That is one thing I think we should worry about. Our lives are, we're sinners. We're sinful life, and there's several ways you can end up looking at it. One of them is giving up or, going, what the heck, I'm going to sin anyway, so there's really no point in it, and God's going to forgive me in the end, so what the heck, why not just keep doing what I'm doing? Or I have to try harder. I have to try harder. I have to try harder. Both of those are rejection of the Holy Spirit dragging you to repentance.
Yeah, Phil, we've talked about it, being dragged into repentance like that. But one of the most devastating phrases that I've ever heard in this line of rejecting the Spirit is to say, well, God's going to forgive me anyway.
Yes.
God will forgive us anyway. I think God loves me. God loves everybody. So, of course, I'm going to be forgiven anyway. God's
got it. Well, don't read the Psalms, then.
Yeah, don't read them. That is to refuse the Holy Spirit at that point in time. It is dangerous. It is mortally dangerous. 1 John chapter 5. John writes, "Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Isn't that to believe that Christ came to reconcile us with God because we cannot, by our own reason and strength, reconcile ourselves? Didn't Jesus come from the Father, sent into the flesh for us to bleed and die for our sins? Isn't that to believe that Jesus is the Son of God for us who came to redeem and save? We sing it every Christmas, Christ the Savior is born, and we think, God will forgive me anyway. God doesn't forgive me anyway. He forgives me because Christ Jesus went to the cross and suffered for my sins. He suffered my death. He went to the hell that I was destined for. He did that for me. That's to believe in Jesus, the Son of God. And then John continues, there is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make request for this. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not leading to death. Those are the sins that we commit day by day as repentant sinners. I know I'm going to sin there. And I trust in the word of my God. I trust in my Savior to forgive me, as he has promised to do. But we know that no one who is born of God therefore sins. Because of that, because I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, as John continues. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourselves from idols, John concludes. Idols? Don't be deceived. The idol, quite evidently, is you yourself, your old Adam, who, always the enthusiast, believes he has a better word than God's word, believes that he can do it.
If I just try harder.
And apart from the Holy Spirit, one falls into that mortal sin of which John has just warned us against. All unrighteousness is sin, but there is a sin leading to death, and that sin is to refuse Christ and his work, the very thing that the Holy Spirit, by that word of God, would deliver to us, the forgiveness of our sins, reconciliation with God. It can be lost, and once lost, there is no forgiveness. And hopefully, you know, one can hear and come to repentance once again. But if not, if some of these colloquial things out there, the practical things that we're talking about now, persist, oh, God will forgive me anyway, or I'm okay, don't worry about me, there is grave, grave danger. And that is a big, big concern.
It's so interesting to look at this whole idea of repentance and forgiveness. On one hand, you have free forgiveness.
Yes.
And on the other hand, you have your own self-made idols, which is, if I just work harder. Now, Jiminy Christmas, which one sounds easier? Which one sounds better? And we do not go to the free forgiveness one. We always go to the I can do it one. And you go, just look at this logically. This makes no sense. But that is because we are of the devil, which we are the devils, which we don't like to admit. But that's what we are. And that's what we can want to continue as sinners. We want to continue as sinners because that's pretty comfortable, kind of fun. But and it's that's why I think it's also hard for us to understand that that's given to us free, without any reservations. It's
full and free, yeah.
And no matter what I did today, forgiveness is there to be had for no matter what happens to me. And we just have our natural will just simply refuses to believe that.
And continues
to resist.
That forgiveness should never be taken as taken lightly, as if it's always there and I got it. Don't worry about me. I can handle this. And then when it doesn't work out so good, then I kind of run over here.
It's second choice on my list of things to do.
Yeah, it's kind of like you having your own sugar daddy or whatever. And there is grave danger in that walk. It is why the divine service, why daily devotion and study is important to every Christian, to every person. Because apart from that, we are left with nothing other than our own devices and desires. And left to that, things don't work out too well. We are still, even when we cover things by saying, oh, look, things are working out well, and I know God must be for me because this worked out well and that worked out well and all my plans came. But there is, even if that goes all your life, it is still, you're still faced with death. And you can't erase that consequence. It is out there. And there is something beyond that death. God gives us, how would be the proper way to say that? He's not given us a loophole. He's not given us
a means of escape.
Out, but he's given us, the means of escape. He's given us the means of grace, whereby the true reality of life in this world and in the next are the only reality for us. And that is the baptized, repentant life of the Christian. That is to trust in Christ for all things. so that we are the life we now live. We live by faith in the Son of God, who fills us up by his word, by his spirit, and will keep his promise to us now and forever. And apart from that, there is no escape. We would be lost forever. The sin would be mortal. Now, I hope we're making some sense with the direction we're going on the practical side here. The bottom line, I suppose we would say it no better than Scripture could. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it, guard it. Guard it because it means life itself. You're listening to Classroom 1.
CGS Music is a locally owned music store here in Lincoln, Nebraska. CGS Music provides musical instrument sales, rentals, and repairs of both string and band instruments. Visit cgsmusic.net. Again, that's cgsmusic.net, or call 402-328-0677. That's 402-328-0677.
Well, we're back for the final segment of this edition of Classroom 1, where we've been talking about the danger of mortal sin and refusing to hear the Holy Spirit as he brings to us the blessings of Christ, the gifts of Christ for us, for our forgiveness and reconciliation with God the Father. And in addition to that, of the fearfulness of listening to the common colloquialisms concerning forgiveness and the speaking of the absolution in such things as, well, God will forgive us anyway, and we're going to sin, but we're doing our best, and or Jesus did his part for us by dying on the cross, and now we have to do our part by living for him and not going on sinning anymore, and we just completely throw out the window with those kinds of things all of the gifts that the Spirit would deliver to us by his word and his sacraments. And watch out for that idol, because it is very common, and the devil is very slick at how he brings those across to us so that we think that we're doing just fine, and we got it, don't worry about us, and we forget to listen, neglect to listen to the Spirit and what he really tells us. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, following that, is for our final segment, I think, Phil, I'd like to take a look at just a little bit of fighting against that. How do we fight against those kinds of things when they're so prevalent and they arise from within us so easily, and the devil is pretty slick at making those things sound pretty good, as if we could really do those. So, well, I'm sorry.
Well, I see you have several things listed here. You have the Christian creed, the Lord's Prayer. We talk
staying
about
staying in those things.
Yes. You know what they sound like? Oh, yes. The liturgy, the church service that we attend.
By golly, and that's what we're really talking about. You know, that's the great overarching thing is the divine liturgy, the format for receiving these very gifts of Christ that are expressed in holy baptism and the Ten Commandments and the Creed and the Lord's Prayer.
Well, the interesting thing about that is it shows you, it tells you about the work of the Holy Spirit, and what our last hymn does really well is it has where those sayings from Scripture are, because most of our responses are just so if you're worried about you're saying the right thing or it's God pleasing. The responses are scriptural. We repeat Holy Spirit has done for us, and we simply repeat those things. And there are a lot of benefits to that. One of which is, when we before the communion service, when they say, "Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven," well, that's the whole church service. You're saying the things that the communion of saints has said since the beginning of time. That is all of you saying those things. If that doesn't move you, I think there's something wrong with you. You know, I think emotion doesn't lead to faith, but I think faith can lead to emotion. When you look at this, when you listen to that and go, people have been sitting here, particularly for 2,000 years, saying almost virtually the same thing, hearing the same thing, believing the same thing. I think, to me, that's extremely powerful. And at times, you know, I've told you, particularly after a death of a loved one, when you hear that, they're with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, and realize the death of a loved one, when you walk up to the communion, there that person is. That other half of the ring, there they are. They're that foretaste of heaven for you. We have such wonderful things. You know, the Holy Spirit imparts such wonderful things to us, and we go, well, I can take it or leave it. But I think that's really a start of it. When you start skipping church service, you're opening yourself wide open to doing things your own way.
Yes, and believing and listening to things that are not out of Scripture itself. And the fight against sin at that point in time begins to be lost. And if we are in Christ, if our lives are the baptismal life of daily drowning that old sinfulness in us in the waters of our baptism, so that we as new beings in Christ can come forth and live before God. As St. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You know, the old has passed away. Behold, all things are new. You know, we died to sin in our baptism, as Paul says in Romans chapter 6. We were buried with Christ by baptism into his death, and raised with Christ by his resurrection to newness of life. This to us as Christians on this side of the grave is to live the life of faith. And in our context of confession of sins and the absolution, it is the continual fighting against sin to do those good works. It's a matter of conscience to us.
And it's interesting, you know, as you get older, I think you appreciate the things that you get older more. Baptism is something that I think I've told you this. So when my own kids were baptized, or when you're a little kid, you're just going, this just makes a church service take longer.
Yeah.
And when it's your own kids, I always said, so there's all these things going on. But now that it's not my own children, it's my grandchildren, it's other people's, and there's a good liturgy in the New Lutheran Hymnal too. I like that too. They usually follow that. We say some pretty in-your-face things about sin, about who that child is, a child of Satan, and that child renounces Satan and becomes a new person. We're pretty direct about that, and I think I really like that. The other thing is you think about more of, you know, at times when you have the corporate confession, and I think you have it later on in here, there is a tendency to sometimes you feel like you're getting lost in the crowd, and you go, there's kind of safety in numbers here. But the other thing you look at is there are fellow saints with you saying the exact same things.
You're not alone.
The Nicene Creed. I love listening to the Nicene Creed, and we've talked about this, you know, about going to communion with people. Go, what about those people? I don't know. We all just recited the Nicene Creed. We listened to the same service. I have to take it at face value. We're united in faith in Christ because I heard them.
Yeah.
And I think that communion of saints, you know, physically is something that we sometimes don't think enough about. So if you think you can skip those things and not be affected, you're wrong. You're wrong about that. You move further away. So. You don't get closer. You move further away.
Very much so. These illustrations that you used, you know, the baptism and kneeling at the communion table, I forget if it was an old Norwegian way of looking at it, but I heard it in a sermon some years ago about the circle of the communion being completed. And as we kneel on this side of eternity, the saints that have gone before us in heaven kneel on the other side of eternity. And we are together. It is, as you said, Phil, they have sung this hymn since the beginning. And you can read it in Isaiah. You can read it in St. John's Revelation. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. And that song of the church, of the scriptures, of heaven itself, will continue forever and ever, knowing the things that we're talking about here, the mortality that we face because of our sins and that there is nothing we can do about it apart from Christ. And to know that we have been redeemed from an eternity of death, of eternity of purging of sins, which will never be completed because it takes an eternity to do that.
And we still won't pay for. I mean, you have to pay for it for an eternity. Oh my gosh!
How
and it
can
will
that
never
ever
lessen
be?
ever.
It is why there was an incarnation, where God took on our human flesh, the eternal God, who only could offer a sacrifice big enough, not just for one sinner's sins for eternity, but for the entire world's sins for all eternity. The eternal God did this for us. It is just utterly mind-blowing. But yet it is what the Scriptures declare to us, that what Christ has done for us in order to redeem and save us. We are in that mortal danger apart from Christ. But in Christ, we are redeemed and saved from it, thanks be to God. How could there not be that rejoicing? How could there not be, having been redeemed out of the filth and the muck and the mire of that sin, how could there not be great rejoicing and fighting against going back into that?
And yet we do.
And yet we
dog
do.
Dog returns to its own vomit.
Yeah.
Sweep out your heart.
Said, yeah.
Sweep out your heart. And the seven spirits come and they find...
Then they're more evil than the first
yes,
one.
Yes, that's right. And we never like to think in those terms. But it's really interesting. Think about that, because you go, so my mouth moves with all this stuff. I don't know if I believe or not. Scripture tells me I believe. That's the comfort there. The Scripture, through the Holy Spirit, tells me, here, these things are true. Well, how do I know? Because I said so.
Yeah, God said so. He proved it in the resurrection. That was the acid test. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Everything, Luke 24, everything written about me in Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. The word of God is greater than our feelings. The word of God is greater than the words of men who think that they have a corner on the market. The word of God is great enough to blow sins away forever. As far as the east is from the west, where do they come together? Well, they don't. They're gone. The sins are washed away in the blood of Christ. The word of God has that power. When that pastor stands up in that divine liturgy and says, I forgive you all your sins, take it to the bank, as we used to say, they are forgiven in the blood of Christ Jesus. It's not that God forgives us because he loves us. It's because God loved us in Christ Jesus, who while we were still dead and damned in our trespasses and sins, Christ died for us ungodly and gives us this richness. Boy, brothers and sisters in Christ, fight against sin, because the danger is utterly mortal to you to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit and say, no, I don't need this, I got this. Don't worry about me. It's okay, God will forgive us anyway. God loves everybody, everything is fine. God only loves us in Christ.
And when you look at this, when you look at the great gifts that are given you, you'd go, well why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I strive against sin? And yet it's not something we ever...
That's
we
not
ever,
the question that gets asked.
No, and it's not something we can ever, you know, go, well, I've got it. I've got it down pat. I'm sort of on automatic pilot now. And I was thinking about, you know, earlier I said death. You know, we don't seem to think about death the same way. Wait a minute. If you're so good, you're going to die. And this flip side of that is there is a death that proves everything also. What Christ told me, I can take to the bank because... A, he died like he said he was going to, and he was validated. His work is validated because, oh yeah, he was risen from the dead, and
just
there
like
were
you said.
And there were witnesses. There were witnesses to that. It isn't like other religions where, oh, they did this or they did that. No. This has reliable witnesses, so I can take it to the bank. So what he said to me, I don't know if I said this last time, but a guy told me one time. He said, I'm not going to argue about creation with somebody who believes in evolution, because I really can't prove creation any more than he can prove evolution. But I do have one thing that he doesn't have. The person who said he created everything said, I'm going to die and I'm going to rise from the dead, and that's why I'm going to say I believe these things. And that's the same with everything we do. So, but like I said, it's such a great gift, but we have to remind ourselves all the time. The Holy Spirit has to be there all the time prompting us, or we would slip off into, you know, our usual never, never land.
And we could be lost forever.
That's right. That's right.
You're listening to Classroom One. If you have questions regarding the content of Classroom One, drop us a card at Classroom One, 3825 Wildbriar Lane, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68516. And we'll get an answer to you just as quick as we can. This is Classroom One on KNNALP FM 95.7, Lutheran and Community Radio for Lincoln, Nebraska, and the world.